CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Jim Brook. He keeps the Ukraine Business News, and this is much in the news because of what we're told of an agreement between the United States and Germany about the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that will take Russian natural gas, Russia is an energy superpower, into Germany, thereby providing an extremely attractive source of energy for Germany and all of Western Europe, but also bypassing Ukraine, the fragmented state of Ukraine, that these many years has depended upon the income from the transiting of Russian natural gas into Europe. Jim, a very good day to you. I read a quote that you have at Ukraine Business News from Diane Francis of the Atlantic Council. Putin nibbles away at his prey, Ukraine, and has all but declared war. The tragedy is that the United States and Germany now have given him a pipeline with an enormous cash flow that will finance his conquests. End quote. Is that sentiment widely shared in Kyiv and in Ukraine and what remains of Ukraine? Good day to you, Jim.
Good day, John. And yes, it is very much shared. The feeling is that the pipeline will deprive Ukraine not only of $2 billion a year in revenue, but it will deprive it of a sort of a tripwire that keeps Russia from moving. If Russia can supply Europe gas without depending on Ukraine, there's nothing to stop Russia from attacking Ukraine militarily. That's the problem.
I read from your business news that Russia's promise or a guarantee that it would not use the Nord Stream 2 bypass of Ukraine as a weapon. The puzzle here, Jim, is what you're reporting. Already, with European gas prices at 13-year highs, Gazprom is not using the full capacity of the transit pipeline of Ukraine. Is that accurate? And how to interpret that fact, given that Germany came to an accommodation with Moscow on this, with the promise that it wouldn't cut back on its transit of Ukraine?
Yes, it very much is the situation right now. Putin is pinching the pipe. He's artificially creating a shortage. He's running up the price. And Europe is going to go into the winter with their storage capacity half empty. So there is going to be not only high prices, but probably a shortage. And Putin will use this to justify turning on the pipes, turning on the taps for Nord Stream 2 and saying, you know, without Nord Stream 2, we can't supply you. But just yesterday, they deliberately refused to book a 50% increase in shipping gas through Ukraine's pipe is 75% empty. It's 25% full. There's plenty of room for Russia to send more gas through it. Russia does not want to do this because they want the prices to go up in Europe. It's very simple.
It's so simple. I'm puzzling about these guarantees or assurances from Germany, especially the Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel, who's leaving office soon enough, and there's an election campaign, and I understand that you try to get out the door without causing controversy. I note in the reporting that Ukraine has sent representatives of the president's office to Berlin to consult with the foreign ministry. Are those talks said to be the beginnings of a monitoring of the Russian conduct, Russian promises? Because if they're the beginning, what you're reporting now is that it's already happening.
It is already happening, and Germany will come out far strengthened by this. Germany will be the choke point, the entry point for Russian gas to Europe for most of it. And so Germany can turn the taps on and off as long as its client states are friendly. So Germany will control the gas going into Europe. So strategically, they're happy with that. Coincidentally, the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 both make landfall in the Baltic Sea district that happens to be represented by Angela Merkel in the Bundestag for the last 31 years. This is her home area. So she will leave office in 2 months, having created, turned her home district into Europe's new gas hub, which is a nice source of revenue for a fairly depressed area.
Source of revenue, I come to your reporting about the pipeline itself. If I interpret this correctly, the pipeline is a rich source of income for Ukraine, depending upon it, for its economy, which is looking very positive coming out of the pandemic. But the pipeline operators are saying, without Russian gas flow through, we have to concern ourselves with maintaining this workforce. And that means we might have to let people go, which would be a blow to the economy. But dismantle the pipeline? Is that what's going to happen, Jim, if they don't get assurances from Germany?
Well, that pipeline serves one purpose, which is to move Russian gas from east to west, from Russia to the EU. You take out the Russian gas, and all you have is a lot of scrap metal, essentially. You have an empty pipeline, only valuable for its metal. The thinking is that if you shut down the pipeline, you will deprive Ukraine of about $2 billion a year, slice 1 or 2 percentage points off the GDP right there of Ukraine.
The concern I have is for the Ukraine government coming back, whether they're now capable of managing this balancing act. The president of Ukraine, Mr. Zelensky, is due at the White House sometime in August. I don't have the date in front of me. Forgive me. What is it that Mr. Zelensky can accomplish? What is it that is the hope in Kyiv about this deal that is now in place, even with the consultation? What is to be done, Jim, is the thinking?
Well, it's interesting. Biden has had all summer to invite Zelensky to Washington. He's chosen August 30th, which happens to be a day when Congress is in recess, so there's no chance that Zelensky can address a joint session of the U.S. Congress. There are a lot of supporters of Ukraine in Congress. There's not much chance that Zelensky can meet with Congress people, though I'm sure some will be there. So the idea is to get Zelensky in, have him accept this deal, pat him on the head, you know, give him $1 billion in aid or something, and get on with it. It's very unpopular here in Ukraine, but Ukrainians really don't have much choice in the matter at this point.
Let's go to the positive news out of Ukraine, because this is a fragmented country under great pressure to perform. And you're reporting that business confidence has returned almost to pre-pandemic levels of October 2019. What is driving that? Is that a vaccination rate that you're reporting? Is that just the demand for Ukraine business? How so, given the negatives that we've just discussed?
Actually, the books are in good shape in terms of exports. Partly because of COVID, food prices are at a world high, and Ukraine is a farming superpower. You know, it's a major exporter of corn, wheat, barley, etc. So they're riding on high commodity prices there. Iron ore prices have doubled the last year. So iron and steel prices are high. About 15, almost 20% of Ukraine's workforce now works in the EU. The EU has been very welcoming to these migrant laborers who are sending back $1 billion a month. So the numbers are good, and Ukraine is very strong in IT, and IT was totally unaffected by the COVID recession because everyone could work at home, and the IT sector has been growing at double digits here in Ukraine. So the books are balancing, and the local currency is strong. It's actually appreciated 5% against the dollar this year. It's a pretty good situation.
Just a final note here, the irony of it. I can suppose that Donbass and Crimea are not enjoying this bounty. Is that correct, Jim? We have 30 seconds.
They're completely off the map. They're like North Korea. There's no trade. There's no tourism. There's very little border crossing. And they're kind of on a different planet.
Which would not be the case but for the Russian intervention of some years past. This is the tragedy of Ukraine now, but Ukraine had so many tragedies in the 20th century. This is just one more. Ukraine is doing well, except for the unknowns of the deal between Washington and Berlin about the Nord Stream 2. Jim Brook. James Brook is the editor and boss of Ukraine Business News. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.